Daffodils as yellow as the sun, ruby tulips, and a row of purple lilacs from the old country border the house I live in with my husband, Frank, our three young children, ages 8, 5, and 3, and next month, if all goes well, our fourth child. We are hoping for a boy. My parents live with us, but only for a few more months. They've built a new house near Woodland, Washington. We'll be moving, too, to a farm of our own south of Whalen Road. We'll still be within a few miles of each other, a close-knit family of German-Americans captured by this lush landscape between the Lewis and Columbia rivers. We call where we live the Bottoms. It's made up of black soil that was once the bottom of those great rivers, and sometimes becomes so again with the floods. We hope our new places will be less prone to flooding, though it's the nature of rivers to rise with the spring thaws. We live with it. My mother and children have dug daffodil and dahlia bulbs, snipped lilac starts to plant, and my sisters and brother and neighbors will give us sprouts from their bushes once we move, which is the custom. A lilac says, "Here is a place to stay." And how perfect that such promise of permanence should come from family and friends. We can't move the apple orchard, but I wielded my grafting knife and wrapped the shoots, scions, they're called, in sawdust and stored them in the barn earlier this year when the trees were dormant. Today I'll graft them onto saplings at my parents' new house, so one day there'll be an apple orchard there. I've also stepped into the uncommon for a simple hausfrau. I've grafted a wild Bismarck apple variety known for its crispness with a Wolf River, an apple of a larger size. My father encouraged such dappling with nature, and that I keep my efforts quiet, at least for a time. It was April, and we tied the scions onto the saplings he'd started as soon as he knew they'd be building the house. I liked working with my father in the orchard, a misty rain giving way to sun breaks, and the aroma of cedar and pine drifting down from the surrounding hills in the shadow of Mount St. Helens. So much seems possible in such vibrant landscapes. A garden is the edge of possibility. He was a great storyteller and advice giver, my father, though this day his story surprised.
"Don't tell Frank right away," he told me. "Let him think you're just grafting plain old apples to help us extend the orchard."
"Frank wouldn't mind."
"In time, when you have the final result in hand. But Frank discourages you. I see it, Hulda."
I pushed at my frizzy walnut brown hair and stared at him.
"He dismisses your interests if they go beyond your children and him."
"It's a woman's duty to meet her family's needs."
"Meet their needs first. But you want a crisper, bigger apple, too," he said. "Nothing wrong with that."
"I do. I get so annoyed at those mealy things that hang onto their peels like bark to a tree." He nodded.
"Some would say that meddling with nature isn't wise. Frank might agree, especially if the one meddling is a mother who should be content with looking after her family."
I stood, using my hoe to help me in my burgeoning belly up. I was nearly as tall as my father. He liked Frank. At least, I always thought he did. My love and admiration for both men were rooted deep. It felt strange to defend my husband to my father. "You're wrong, Papa." I pushed my pointy straw hat back. "Frank's a good helpmate for me, and he'll like having more pies." My father tied another scion onto a branch making sure the cambium was fully covered in the slanted cut I'd made so the two would bond securely.
You have a gift, Hulda. You can see distinctive things in plants. You see the possibility, like a crisper, larger apple, and then imagine it into being.
He lifted another scion as emphasis.
Those are gifts few have, and people can be envious.